Did a star guide you here? Did the mystery of a child who became the Messiah of the world propel you here? Did you come to offer a loving heart, an adoring spirit, and obedient will on Three Kings Sunday? Whatever brought you to Prairie Street Mennonite Church on January 7, 2018, or 2018, or to our podcast, welcome. Kyle will lead us in Sing the Story number 30, As You Rise. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God is working God's purpose out as one year succeeds to year. Nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Praise God that we in this new year may rise, shine, and live in the light and glory that has come. Let us pray. God of gold, we seek your glory, the richness that transforms our drabness into color and brightens our dullness with vibrant light. We seek your wonder and joy at the heart of all life. God of incense, we offer you our prayer, our spoken and unspeakable longings, our questioning of truth, our search for your mystery deep within. God of myrrh, we cry out to you in our suffering, the pain of all our rejections and bereavements, our baffled despair at undeserving suffering, our rage at continuing injustice. We embrace you, God, with us in our poverty of wealth, in our yearning, in our expectancy. May the miracle of your light shine within us and through us to every deep corner of the world. We worship the child, the Word, the King, the Savior of humankind, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Sing the Story, 32.
Those who are able, please stand. Thank you. And in the blue hymnal, number 638, God is working his purpose out.
Please rise in spirit or in body as we confess our faith. Dear God, on our faith journey, when our hearts may be heavy for our own, our congregational, and our wider faith family's needs, arise upon us with the light with which you once and for all brought us together in the Christ child. Dear God, for the darkness that covers the earth, we long to see your promise. Arise upon us, let your glory appear over us. Draw us to your Son as you drew nations and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Dear God, cast your radiance over us, cause our hearts to thrill and rejoice in the mystery you make known to us in Christ. Fling open the doors, our King, and come among us in royal procession. Come with your light and assurance that will stretch us in faith today and throughout this new year. Amen. Now receive this assurance. Dear ones, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has mercy on us, forgives us our sins, and sets us free to live in faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. As beloved children of God, we are free to arise and shine in the light of the glorious mystery that through Christ we are God's adopted children, children of peace. Now let us share Christ's peace with each other and the world. The peace of Christ be with you.
And now, children, Steve, we have an extraordinary Steve Wiebe Johnson children's time.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hi,
how are you? Thank you. Let's pass around the plate. Well, it's nice to see each one of you. I've passed the plate around, and I'm not totally clear on if we're staying with the same.
Still going to La Casa Grande.
Okay, thank you very much. Have any of you ever lost something? What have you lost? Oh, yeah, you lost your rabbits, yeah. That was sad. You weren't home when that happened, right? Has anybody else lost anything?
Ren loses his glasses a lot.
I have something I've lost recently, and I'm not yet ready to say it's lost because it's a comb of mine, and it's a comb that I bought a number of years ago, and I've traveled with for years and years and years, and I can't find it anywhere. I've looked high and low. I've looked in every place I put stuff, and I can't find it. And it's really a pain. But I think I'm going to be happy when I find it, because I haven't given up hope. And today's story is about we say kings, the Bible calls them wise men, but they're people that watch the sky, so we could say they were astrologers, and these men lived to the east of Jerusalem. Now, there's lots of desert and a long way, so we don't know exactly where these three men came from. And we don't know whether they were together or not, or whether they encountered each other on the way, or what exactly happened. But what we do know is that they were searching the sky. And that was their habit. That was the thing they did. And it wasn't that they had lost something, but what they found in the sky, something unusual. And it was so unusual that they decided to follow it. And as they follow it, it became clearer and clearer to them there was some great event that the sky was marking. And that sky marking turned out to be, as they understood, the birth of a new king. And so when they got to the place where the star had stopped, had guided them to, they said, "Where's the king? We want to worship the king." And they were taken to Herod. And Herod was the present king. And they said to Herod, we understand. The sky has told us that the king has been born, so we've come to worship this king. And all of Jerusalem trembled at the word that this new king had been born. And they persisted, these wise men, because the people, the Herod knew nothing about this and knew nothing at all. And so the wise men kept going until in this little manger, they found a baby, and that baby was Jesus. And 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of Jesus. And now we're celebrating the arrival of these astrologers. And in a very interesting way, these astrologers gave, in a sense, the sign that the kingdom of God would be open to all of us here. Because even though there were signs throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Bible, that salvation was all, for all people. The visiting of the three kings, the three wise men, the three astrologers is one of the things that signaled to everyone that this kingdom of God was for all people. So God was doing a new thing for all people. And that's how we become part of the story. How does that sound? We'll let that just percolate in your minds a little bit, okay? So don't let anybody tell you that stargazing is a waste of time, okay? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord God of grace and mercy, for the gift of life, for the gift of each of these children, and for the good work that you're doing in their lives as they grow. Thank you for their parents, for their homes. We pray that you will bless them and that you'll raise them up to be the men and women of God that you've created them to be. Thank you for this day of worship together, for this day of celebration of three kings, for the reminder that your kingdom is for all people, of all places, of all times, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Ephesians 3, 1 to 7. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ.
Efesios 3, versículo 1 al 7. Por eso yo, Pablo, estoy preso por causa de Cristo Jesús, para bien de ustedes, los no judíos. Sin duda ustedes se habrán enterado del plan de Dios. En su bondad, me asignó para el bien de ustedes. Me refiero al misterio que me declaró por revelación, como ya les había escrito brevemente.
In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel.
Al leerlo podrán darse cuenta de que conozco el misterio de Cristo, misterio que en otras generaciones no se dio a conocer a la humanidad, tal y como ahora se ha revelado a sus santos apóstoles y profetas por el Santo Espíritu. Ahora sabemos que por medio del Evangelio, los no judíos son coherederos y miembros del mismo cuerpo y copartícipes de la promesa en Cristo Jesús.
Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power.
Por el don de la gracia de Dios, que me ha sido dado y conforme a su gran poder, yo fui designado ministro de este evangelio.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Our preacher this morning is Nelson Crable. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of the glorious mystery that you reveal in Christ be upon the heart and lips of Pastor Nelson. Let them stir in our hearts and lips a realized longing for Christ's glory risen upon us, that your light, glory, and mystery embrace us all today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.
This is Epiphany Sunday, a day when we celebrate the arrival of wise men to Bethlehem. Our worship leader, John, is wearing red socks, quite appropriately. And we recall that among nations to our south, this is the big celebration. It's not Christmas Day, it's Epiphany. It's the Three Kings Day. Epiphany means a sudden appearance or a sudden insight or perhaps a sudden manifestation of something. I worked on that problem for 3 days and then I had an epiphany, a breakthrough, an aha moment. And I saw the solution. In Christian faith, Epiphany refers to the sudden manifestation of God at Bethlehem, the sudden realization among the people around the house where Joseph and Mary were that this was God with us. We have just completed our celebrations of Christmas. That marks the incarnation, the time when God crosses the boundary from heaven to earth to be present among us. Epiphany now celebrates the time when wise men from their pagan background, their foreign culture, suddenly recognize that baby Jesus is God, very God. And you and I also experience moments of epiphany, breakthrough in our spiritual journey when we see God in new ways. Who were those visitors to Bethlehem? Wise men? Kings? Magi? Matthew is the only gospel writer who records that event. And he's vague about it. He simply says, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him. The term Magi that Matthew uses suggests the visitors were indeed astrologers. If you watch the stars, you know that this week, if you got up early in the morning, you went out, you could see that Jupiter is aligned with Mars. Remember the old song, when the moon is in the seventh house, and Jupiter aligns with Mars. This is the kind of thing that astrologers, people that read horoscopes, that do this kind of spiritual or political prediction based on the movement of the heavenly bodies, pay attention to. Christians in dozens, or at least a dozen countries in the Near East, have tried to claim those magi as theirs. They came from our country. When the Old Testament city of Jerusalem fell to Babylon, gold and other treasures from the temple were carried away to Babylon. And the book of Daniel says that when the king of Babylon used some of those golden utensils, he used them in a big party in his capital city, a kind of blasphemous use of the sacred vessels of the temple. I think the wise men came from Babylon. We can't prove where they came from. But it really makes sense as you read the Old Testament, the story of the exile, and now it's almost as if the wealth that was hauled off in Babylon is coming back 5 centuries later. No, it could not have been the same gold utensils, but it was gold and it was precious items. And the prophet Isaiah, who was writing during this time of the people of Israel being in Babylonian captivity, described the eventual restoration of Jerusalem this way. He said in Isaiah 60, "Nations will come to your light. Kings will come to the brightness of your dawn. and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. It's from Isaiah that we get the notion that these men or these visitors were kings. Gold and diamonds are at the heart of warfare that is going on today in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And I'm wearing a shirt that my hosts in Congo presented to me at the end of my visit there with Mennonite World Conference in December. When a wave of missionaries came to Congo in the 1960s, Western missionaries, the government generally welcomed them and then assigned each denomination to a different region of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mennonites largely went to the Kasai region, the south central part of Congo, a largely rural area with small villages and apparently few good roads. In recent decades, that region has become the focus of conflict and violence because, among other reasons, gold and diamonds have been found there. And now there is struggle to control that region. Osei Chiwape of our congregation is from the Kasai. This is his home area. And there are 450 tribes in all of Congo, 450 distinct people groups, dialects, even languages. Tribalism is strong. Tribe is your family, it's your identity, it's your loyalty. And so historically, even long before Westerners came there, there was conflict and tension between these tribes. And now that's exacerbated by the resources of gold and diamonds that are being found in this rural region of the huge country of Congo. And thousands have died in that part of Congo in the last year or two. Around the city of Chikapa, in the Kasai region, there are some 50 Mennonite congregations, and only a few of these have not reported that they've had damage to their buildings or had people killed within their congregations. There are up to 1 million people that have been displaced in Congo, refugees moving around or out of the Kasai region for safety. And the delegation from Mennonite World Conference that I was with in December, a delegation of four persons, went not right into the Kasai region. We received counsel that that probably was not a wise thing, especially for two white people to be part of the team and going into that part of the country. We would be so very evident, so very, very visible there. We went to the city of Kikwit, which is at the edge of the Kasai region, outside of the immediate war zone, but at a place where thousands of refugees are fleeing. So we went there to meet with these refugees, and we heard many testimonies from people whose homes were burned, who witnessed their family members killed. That was a common narrative among the refugees. I saw my husband, I saw my sons die. And then people, the survivors, who themselves at times were assaulted. Tribal divisions continue, and they continue even among refugees who come to urban areas for safety. If you are from the wrong tribe, you might not get even the meager help that a certain refugee center will offer, and there are not many refugee centers. At the city of Kikwit, city of about 2 million, where our delegation visited, Mennonites were the first, Mennonites were the first to offer and organize help for the refugees. The United Nations is there, but the local people complain that the UN seems to be doing almost nothing. Mennonites in that country do not have money or space in their home, in their institutions to house hundreds or thousands of refugees in dormitories. They can't set up tent cities. The average daily income in that country is $2 a day, $2 a day. So these, by and large, are people who, by Western standards, are very materially very poor. So the Mennonites of Kikwit have taken refugees into their homes. These are people who don't have big houses. And they take refugees, often people they don't know, into their houses. And then Mennonites, with assistance from Mennonite Central Committee, have set up in Kikwit five refugee centers. This isn't a place where the refugees live. It's a place where they can come during the day and they perhaps can get some food. And if there's clothing has arrived, they can get that and other supplies. And it was at these supply centers that our delegation four times met with groups of refugees, and their stories are the stuff of nightmares. Many things about this ministry of the Mennonites in Kikwit impressed me, but most of all, that in a tribal society where you help your own people and perhaps not those of a different tribe, Mennonites of Kikwit have said, "We will help anyone. Our homes are open. It does not matter what tribe you come from, we will be here for you." And the people of Congo tell me that that's unusual, that that's an unusual spirit. 2,000 years after Joseph and Mary received Gentile wise men, 2,000 years after Gentile wise men had the temerity, the boldness to cross over cultural boundaries to go to Bethlehem, that epiphany comes to Congo. Both Mary and Joseph and the wise men had an epiphany. They had the sudden manifestation of God in their midst, a manifestation that broke down the barriers of race and class and nation. And wise men, these uncircumcised astrologers, at least we assume that was their circumstance, these wise men from afar were the first on record to worship the Christ child, the first to bow down and worship. Matthew says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped. Then they opened their treasures and presented him gold and incense and myrrh. Astrology was not acceptable in Jewish faith. The prophet Isaiah, forecasting divine judgment on Babylon, precisely Babylon, wrote in Isaiah 47, "Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming. Surely they are like stubble, and fire will burn them up." God's punishment is coming on Babylon for what it did to Jerusalem 500 years before Christ, and particularly the astrologers. But now at Bethlehem, it's the astrologers who are coming to be the first to worship Jesus. Matthew, who apparently didn't know much about astrology as a Jewish writer, presents the wise men as kind of following a moving star, as if as if the star moved through the skies and hovered over the house. I think it's much more likely the astrologers were reading the heavens, like Jupiter aligning with Mars this week. They were reading some kind of signs in the heaven. They said, ah, there's a king going to be born, and it's to the west of us. Let's go see what is happening. And God somehow used that message, that channel of understanding, in another culture, even a culture that the Jewish faith rejected, to guide those foreigners to the stable. This double miracle, the incarnation, God present among us, the epiphany, the opening of the eyes of people, Gentiles, is what Paul calls throughout his writing the mystery of God's revelation. This mystery that's been hidden through the ages, that God has anticipated someday the good news of God's love would go to all people. This is at the heart of Paul's calling. He says in Ephesians 3, in former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind as it has now been revealed. That is, Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. One evening in the Congo, our delegation learned that next morning we would visit a minister. I imagined a pastor. Since it wasn't Sunday the next day, I didn't even put on a tie. We got in the car with our driver and we were heading downtown Kinshasa. And then I learned we were going to visit a government minister, what we in this country, I suppose, would call the Minister of the Interior, who is a Mennonite in Congo. The man received us graciously, but I was and remain cautious about this man. The government in Congo often is corrupt. There are many credible reports of abuse in Congo. And so we met this Minister of the Interior. We spent 20 minutes with him. We explained our mission, why we were there. He expressed gratitude, and then we gathered around and prayed for him and his work. God bless him in a difficult assignment in a country with many enormous challenges. And I hope and pray he is a voice for justice and peace. But I got much more hope from visiting the churches, where economically destitute people are building community in the name of Jesus and finding new life in the cross and resurrection. Paul says in Ephesians 3 that the seemingly fragile vessel of the church is God's chosen means of carrying the mystery of his love to the world. God called Paul to preach good news to Gentiles so that, quote, through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This message of God's love for all people reaches the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. What happened at Bethlehem not only was a witness to Herod and the people of Jerusalem, who were seriously upset by news of a king. No, this news of God's love also resonates on a cosmic and a spiritual level. Behind racism in this country, behind bigotry that builds walls, behind tribal warfare, behind the ICE detention centers, There are principalities and powers, spiritual forces that are warping God's good creation. That's why, in order to live the good news of God's love, in order to transcend the barriers of race and class that divide this nation, even divide the Christian church, we need the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We need to immerse ourselves regularly in the Word of God, in the biblical narrative that culminates in Jesus breaking down barriers. We need prayer and worship and the encouragement of the faith community. Because the wisdom of God, Paul says, will be made known through the church, not just through politics, not just through bold activism, not by pulling up our own bootstraps. Sometime in the next several weeks, I learned yesterday, there will be a prayer walk through Elkhart, probably starting at AMBS and ending at the Civic Plaza. And it's a time for Christians to come together and walk through the city and pray and witness against the proposed ICE detention center, this center that some want to build just south of town, a 1,000-cell prison for people to be deported out of this country. This, I believe, is a spiritual battle, and God has chosen through the church to make known that barriers are coming down and prisoners are released. Let's participate when that prayer walk happens. So that the Ephesians might believe and live into this boundary-crossing, enemy-loving, prejudice-reducing epiphany. Paul blesses them at the end of Ephesians 3 with words that are for us as well. Paul writes, "I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen, amen." And all God's people say,
amen. Please turn in the purple Sing the Story hymnal to number 27. Sing a different song. And those who are able, please stand.